This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will go over the topic of MTP dislocations from the foot and ankle section on orthobullets.com. Let's start this episode with a quick summary. MTP dislocations are conditions characterized by multiplanar instability of the MTP joint, which may present as a, quote, crossover toe. Diagnosis is made clinically with the presence of dorsomedial deviation of the toe in relation to the metatarsal. Treatment consists of a trial of shoe modifications and taping. Operative management is indicated for patients with progressive pain and fixed deformities. Now, let's get into the episode. Starting with etiology, in terms of pathoanatomic stages, these include that the plantar plate is disrupted, the lateral collateral ligament fails, the medial structures become contracted, and the plantar plate subsequently fails. So with respect to the plantar plate being disrupted, this can be caused by a traumatic rupture or chronic inflammation, which is more common. The next pathoanatomic stage is when the lateral collateral ligament fails, and this leads to medial deviation of the second toe. The plantar plate, with its flexor tendon attachments, displaces medially, and there is medial displacement of the proximal phalanx relative to the metatarsal. The next pathoanatomic stage is the medial structures become contracted, so the lumbricals and interosseous tendons, medial collateral ligament, and medial capsule become tight and contracted, creating adduction force. Finally, the last pathoanatomic stage is the plantar plate subsequently fails, where hyperextension forces on the proximal phalanx, resulting in dorsal instability. Associated conditions with MTP dislocations include MTP synovitis, and keep in mind that deformity is often accelerated by cortisone injection done for either misdiagnosed Morton's neuroma or into the MP joint for synovitis. Now let's go over some relevant anatomy. Specifically, we'll talk about the anatomy and function of the plantar plate. So with respect to the anatomy of the plantar plate, it is a broad, thick ligamentous structure that spans the plantar aspect of the MTP joint. The origin is on the metatarsal head via a thin synovial attachment just proximal to the metatarsal articular surface. The insertion is into the plantar base of the proximal phalanx. The function of the plantar plate is that it resists the tensile loads in the sagittal plane, particularly in dorsiflexion of the joint. The plantar plate also cushions the joint and supports weight-bearing forces. As far as the presentation of MTP dislocations, patients may have symptoms of pain, walking on a, quote, marble in the ball of their foot. Keep in mind that early instability prior to deformity may be confused with a Morton's neuroma, and remember that deformity often follows cortisone injection for presumed neuroma. On physical exam, patients may have a callus under the metatarsal head. You may find dorsal medial deviation of the toe in relation to the metatarsal. You may see hammer toe, which is defined as flexion at the PIP joint and extension at the MP joint, as well as dorsal instability found on the drawer test, which is where you grip the toe, specifically the proximal phalanx with one hand and the metatarsal head with the other, and move the toe dorsally. As far as imaging, recommended views on radiographs include weight-bearing AP, oblique, and lateral. As far as findings on radiographs, the AP shows dislocation of the proximal phalanx, and it will be medial more often than lateral, and the weight-bearing lateral will typically show hyperextension and dorsal dislocation of the proximal phalanx. As far as MRI, indications include ruling out other pathology or to elucidate the pathology of the surrounding structures. An MRI can be used in the early stages of MTP synovitis to evaluate the plantar plate, but it's not necessarily useful in dislocation. Treatment of MTP dislocations can be non-operative or operative. Non-operative management includes taping, shoe modification, metatarsal pads, boot and splint, and NSAIDs. This is indicated as the first line of treatment, but keep in mind that this will not correct the deformity. Operative options include a distal oblique shortening metatarsal osteotomy or the WILD procedure, a plantar plate repair, flexor to extensor tendon transfer, and an EDB transfer under the intermetatarsal ligament. So the indications for a distal oblique shortening MT osteotomy or a WILD procedure is significant pain and loss of function and or fixed deformity. A plantar plate repair will be performed with a metatarsal osteotomy, and the sutures will be passed through the distal plantar plate and then through drill holes in the proximal phalanx. in a flexor to extensor tendon transfer, the FDL is split and brought over the top of the proximal phalanx to stabilize the joint. Now let's quickly talk about the surgical technique for a distal oblique shortening MT osteotomy or WILD procedure in a bit more detail. The specific components of this procedure include soft tissue balancing, the osteotomy, and fixation. So starting with soft tissue balancing, you will do a dorsal and medial capsular release with lateral capsular reefing, which can be used in combination with a WILD osteotomy. Remember that an EDB tendon transfer after rerouting the tendon through the transverse intermetatarsal ligament results in a dynamic stabilizer of incompetent lateral structures. You can perform a flexor digitorum longus or FDL to extensor digitorum longus or EDL tendon transfer, which is known as a girdlestone Taylor procedure. You may also do a resection arthroplasty of the metatarsal head, otherwise known as the Duvry procedure, and then finally do a plantar plate repair, which is typically performed with a metatarsal osteotomy, and sutures will be passed through the distal plantar plate and then through drill holes in the proximal phalanx. As far as the osteotomy portion of the WILD procedure, you will perform an intraarticular osteotomy that achieves longitudinal decompression through shortening and allows joint reduction. The metatarsal is exposed and the direction of shortening in the original WILD procedure runs mostly parallel to the plantar aspect of the foot. Finally, as far as fixation, the osteotomy is fixed by means of a screw running perpendicular to the osteotomy line. Some complications to mention include the floating toe deformity and toe vascular compromise. A floating toe deformity is when you have inability to flex the MTP joint, causing a second digit dorsiflexion deformity, otherwise known as a floating toe. This is the most common complication. You can see toe vascular compromise if correcting a chronic dislocation where the soft tissue, including the vasculature, can contract. Keep in mind that stretching of the vasculature can compromise flow, and the procedure may need to be reversed to save the digit. Okay, so now that we've gone over the major points about this topic, let's go over a few questions to apply the information and get a sense of how this topic has been tested on past exams. The first question reads, floating toe deformity is the most common complication of which of the following surgical procedures used to treat central metatarsalgia? And the choices are 1. Dorsal soft tissue release with pin fixation, 2. Silicone implant arthroplasty, 3. MTP joint excisional arthroplasty, 4. Metatarsal shaft osteotomy, otherwise known as the Hillel procedure, and 5. Metatarsal neck osteotomy, otherwise known as the WILD procedure. The correct answer to this question is 5, metatarsal neck osteotomy, otherwise known as the WILD procedure. So the WILD osteotomy is a joint-preserving metatarsal head osteotomy, which is commonly used for the treatment of the subluxed or dislocated lesser MTP joint associated with central metatarsalgia. The most common complication associated with a WILD osteotomy is the development of a floating toe deformity postoperatively. A floating toe is a deformity characterized by the sagittal plane elevation of the affected toe in relation to the other adjacent toes. When standing, the toe does not touch the floor. It is commonly caused by surgery or injury to the affected toe or a shortened metatarsal bone. Miguez et al. Followed 70 WILD osteotomy patients for 18 months postoperatively. They found a high occurrence of floating toe deformity in the patients who underwent a concomitant PIP joint arthrodesis. Although it was not associated with functional impairment, they recommended that concurrent PIP arthrodesis be avoided to reduce the occurrence of floating toes. Highlander et al. Performed a literature review and reported on the details of 1,131 WILD osteotomies. The most commonly reported complication of the WILD osteotomy was floating toe, reported in 233 cases with an overall occurrence of 36%. And moving on to the final question. A 57-year-old man plays 45 holes of golf per week and has foot pain during the toe-off phase of gait. He notes the foot pain started 3 months ago after walking up a hill and falling forward on some wet grass. Your exam shows skin callosities dorsally at the second PIP joint and plantarly at the second metatarsal head. Radiographs show a hyperextension deformity of the second proximal phalanx in relation to the metatarsal. All the following are true about this patient's condition except, and the choices are 1, Symptomatic treatment initially includes extra depth shoes, metatarsal pads, and well-padded liners. 2. The MTP drawer test will likely show laxity at the MTP joint in the dorsal plantar plane. 3. Repeated MTP dorsiflexion weakens the plantar aponeurosis, plantar plate, and capsular stabilizers. 4. Plantar callosities result from dorsal displacement of the fatty cushion underneath the metatarsal head. And 5. Condition is a result of repetitive stresses causing microfractures with subsequent compromised blood supply to the metatarsal subchondral bone. The correct answer to this question is 5. Condition is a result of repetitive stresses causing microfractures with subsequent compromised blood supply to the metatarsal subchondral bone. So the patient's second MTP hyperextension deformity is a result of a plantar plate rupture. Answer 5 describes the disease process of Freiberg's infraction and AVN of the subchondral bone of the metatarsal. The JAOS article by Mizzle describes lesser MTP joint conditions, including MTP instability, subluxation, and dislocation. Patients with plantar plate ruptures have pain with toe-off as MTP dorsiflexion forces attenuate the plantar stabilizers and subsequently lead to the hyperextension of the proximal phalanx. A drawer test can demonstrate instability in the dorsal plantar plane with plantar plate incompetence. The resulting MTP deformity leads to skin compromise at the PIP joint dorsally, secondary to abutting the shoebox and the plantar metatarsal head due to dorsal migration of the plantar fatty cushion. Initial treatment includes offloading the areas of increased pressure with metatarsal pads and relieving areas of high skin pressure with extra depth shoes. Surgical options include shortening osteotomy to decompress the area and allow the fatty cushion to resume its normal position. That's all for this review about MTP dislocations. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. Keep in mind that these podcasts are designed to go along with the topics on orthobullets.com, and in fact, you can listen to these episodes right on the OrthoBullets website or mobile app while going through the topic. If you've gotten any value from the OrthoBullets podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Also, if you aren't already, be sure to follow OrthoBullets on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube for daily high-yield content. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all tomorrow, right here on the OrthoBullets podcast.